Excuse me. We're at the last sermon now of the Sermon on the Mount. We've gone through everything that Jesus said as recorded in Matthew about the Sermon on the Mount. And today's text actually goes well with what we talked about last week. But I want to do this separately because I think it makes a point that summarizes really all of the Sermon on the Mount. It has to do with how we live our lives. When you read at the very end of Matthew, we have what they call the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Make disciples of all nations, immersing them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you to the end of the age." So when you think about that last verse, "Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you to the end of the age." Why? Why obey all the things that Jesus has commanded? What's the big deal about that? You know, we've already mentioned this during the service about God's grace, that we struggle to do all the things that God wants us to do. We struggle within ourselves, our own struggle with sin. So why is it a big deal to endeavor to obey all Christ has commanded? Well, I think it's because life is about building, isn't it? We have a couple little kids with us today, which is a real treat. You know, they've come, each one, right, has come a long way since they were born. Why? What's happening? They're being built. Part of it is what mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, whoever helps, does. But it's the body that keeps building and changing and growing. And eventually, as we all know, every young child reaches the point where, guess what, they have to go to school. And they've got to learn, and they have to do their part in order to learn. A teacher can only do so much. The child must want to learn. And so much of what we learn just kind of comes automatically, whether we want it or not. But a lot of things we have to grab hold of mentally, emotionally, and make a part of us. And so we grow up to those teen years. And those can be challenging years. And then we grow into the 20s. And we're still building because we're looking at careers, we're looking at jobs, we're looking at maybe marriage and starting a family. We're still building, we're still putting things together. And when you reach my age, you've gone through life putting things together to reach a point where things begin to slowly fall apart. You know, the aches and pains that come along, the injuries that catch up to you, things like that. The last two Sundays, I've had a hard time tying my necktie. It comes. But what's most important is not the physical. What's most important is the spiritual. Who we are inside. Because who you are is not just about your body. You are in your body. And one day when you die, who you are, your spirit leaves your body to go be with the Lord, but the body turns back to dust ultimately. So what you build is really your character, who you are inside. You know, your body doesn't make you a rocket scientist. Your body doesn't make you a teacher or a grave digger. It's who you are inside. And so we are all, every human being is building. Some are doing a horrible job. Others are doing pretty good. But what's the foundation? Well, Jesus says the foundation, if we really want to be with God and to know God, if we really want lives that are pleasing to Him and lives that have a future, we need to build our lives on Jesus. Because building our life on Jesus is the only life, because it's the only foundation, that will last into eternity. People build their lives on many things. Sometimes it's family, sometimes it's some kind of religion or philosophy, or just nothing at all. But all of that leads to nothing, ultimately. No foundation will be left. It'll all be like sand. But we are called to build upon Jesus. Jesus wants us to grow up into Him. And when you read Ephesians chapter 4, the first 16 verses, you find Paul's talking about the church, and it's what we do together. We help each other to grow up into Christ, to mature. So if you go back and read Ephesians 4, those first 16 verses, they're very powerful. But Jesus says in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. You see, there's the rub. We can hear God's word, and we can believe it, you know, kind of logically. But unless we put it into practice, it does us no good. I remember the first time that I had to drive a nail with a hammer. My dad's showing me how to do it. And he said, you know, he showed me. Looked easy. He gave me a nail and a hammer, and I just looked at it. He said, son, that nail's not going to hammer itself. And that's what God is saying. We can look at his word and we can say, son, that word's not going to do you any good until you pick up that hammer and drive it in. And so I picked up my hammer and that nail and proceeded to hit my hand. Dad said, no, hold the nail this way. So I tried again and hit my hand again. The third try, I hit the nail on the head. It didn't go in. I tried it again, missed, and hit the board. After a while, I got the swing of it. And after many bent nails, Dad finally said, why don't you go do something else? But being a Christian is like that. When we hear God's words, he wants us to put them into practice. But, you know, sometimes it's harder than we think. You know, in our minds, we're not used to doing the things that God tells us in his word we ought to do. They're all good, but sometimes some of those things are kind of hard. You know, how can I do that? And we try to do the things that God wants us to do, and we fail. And it just doesn't seem to work for us. But the Spirit's always there saying, my child, come on, try again. You're never going to get good at it unless you practice. And there are going to be times where, oh, success, boy, that nail's going in. Oops, I messed it up. Now I got to pull it out. Point being, there are times where we endeavor to follow Christ. We don't do as well as we should. Maybe we do something wrong, mess it up, and we need to repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I really did not do the right thing. God says, that's okay. Let's pull it out and do it again. Unlike my dad who gave up, God will never give up. Well, my dad never ultimately gave up, just that one time. But he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. I'll read the next two verses in a little bit. Foundations. Foundations are important. If you don't have a solid foundation, your house is going to fall. It may fall on the outside or it may fall on the inside. But if you don't have a right solid foundation, it's going to fall. And when you think back to that notorious 9/11, the Twin Towers fell, not because of a faulty foundation, but because of an outside attack. Even for a solid house, sometimes it can be attacked. As Christians, as we grow and we build our lives upon Jesus, we can be attacked spiritually. So it's important to be solid on our foundation. so that we do not fall. But with God's help, the Lord's help, He lifts us up. Apostle Paul has told us, James told us, submit yourselves to God, and He will lift you up. And oftentimes, because we're on that foundation, God's right there saying, come on, I'm still here, you're still here, let's keep moving. The solid foundation is Jesus' teaching. His word is truth, and that's what we hold to. Any variations from that are not from Him. Only what's from Him is what we find written in Scripture. Building on the sand as a foundation is anything that's not from Jesus. And boy, don't a lot of things in this world sound logical? Can't people present things that just makes total sense until it doesn't? I've been often amazed over the years how confidently people have taught science in school. I always liked science in school. Didn't always get good grades, but I always enjoyed it. But then some of the things I learned are considered nowadays no longer valid. There were things in psychology. I always enjoyed counseling classes, psychology classes. And I wasn't so good at psychology, but I was pretty good at counseling. And then to find out that what was in vogue in the 80s is now considered passé and obscene. The things that man comes up with, no matter how well-intentioned, if they're not the truth, even though they may appear to be so, they will lead us on shaky ground and ultimately fall. I grew up on a farm in central Illinois. Spent all of our life, married life, on the East Coast. But grew up on a small farm in central Illinois. And this wasn't so much foundation, this building, but it was how it was built. We had a big shed that we could park equipment in and whatnot, tractors and plows and discs and whatnot. And you could stand in front of it and you could see the field on the other side. There were so many cracks in that building. The wood was gray and just kind of slowly rotting. And a tin roof. It's all it had was a tin roof. And where I lived was kind of a low spot, south of a little town called Lincoln, Illinois, north of Springfield, Illinois. And there was a hill just south of our farm, about 4 miles away, called Elkhart Hill. Now, it's not like an eastern hill. This is just a little slight blob on the horizon. I mean, you'd have to know it's there to know that it's there, okay? But I could be out in the field, and I could see a storm coming, and I knew if I was on the back 40, as soon as that hill disappeared, I had just 5 minutes to get the tractor and the exhaust pipe under the shed. Always made it, barely. But the point being that we would have tornadoes. We would have tornadoes come through every so often. And it's amazing to see how the color of the sky changes, many different colors, and then the wind. And we'd be in the cellar and hearing the wind rushing and everything. And every time we had a tornado and a bad storm, my dad would say, well, there goes that shed. I hope the equipment's okay. That shed stood through every storm. Tin roof and all. After we took a church in Ontario back in the 1980s, my dad decided, you know, he was selling the house, moving to town, and he wanted to tear that shed down. He took down the shed board by board, took off the tin, and that's when he realized, because the farm wasn't originally his, that the reason that building didn't fall was that the four corners and a further back support were telephone pole posts. He tried with a chainsaw. He tried to dig them out. It's no wonder they didn't fall. Point being, that's how secure God can make our lives if we hold on to Him, because He cannot be shaken. We can go through life and our bodies can begin to fall apart as we get older, as we have injuries, as things happen to us in life. But God is always solid. And we hold on to Him, and we will be solid too, no matter how much we might get a little scared by the winds that blow around us. But if we build on sand, guess what? Everything's going to crumble. Everything's going to crumble. We're all building. And hearing and doing is important. In the book of James, James said, do not only listen to the word, but do it. Put it into practice. Otherwise, we're like a person who looks in a mirror and sees himself, but then walks away and forgets what he looks like. We hear the word, and so we need to do accordingly. Jesus so often said, come, follow me. I don't think he meant just come along and walk with me for a little while and let's have a good time. He meant to follow, to be like him, to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, to pay attention to what he was teaching. Whereas those who reject Jesus' teaching and build as one pleases has really no foundation. No foundation at all. Have you ever said something, got upset about something, and then said some things that out of frustration or anger, only to find out a few moments later that you were in error because you misunderstood the situation? Have you ever been there? I've been there far too many times. That's building on the sand. That's building one life just how one is feeling at the moment or over a period of time, holding on to things that aren't necessarily true, but it makes us feel good, only to find out when it's too late, everything I believed was wrong. Everything I thought made sense was started on the wrong foundation. And the results of building on the rock is to be able to stand the trials of life and reach eternity. To be able to handle the storms of life. And I tell you, as we've had a number of people, I know we have some younger people who aren't here today because of illness, but we've had some older people of the congregation in the 10 years I've been here who have already gone on to be with the Lord. And I tell you, the difference between being with someone of strong faith in their elder years says so much. Because over the years, I've known so many people in their older years that didn't know Jesus and they were still trying to hold on desperately to this life. But the confidence in those who are facing the end is so amazing because they're so confident of what is to come. And why? Because they built their lives on the rock. They've built their lives on the rock. Now, elsewhere, Paul talks about how you build. Some people build with straw, some with stubble, some with wood, some with gold and precious jewels and so forth. It all depends on how well we're building. But the point is building on the rock. And so we can look at ourselves and say, well, I don't know, I'm not as good a Christian as so-and-so, so I don't know. We can't compare ourselves to one another. We can only compare ourselves with ourselves and with the Lord and endeavor to build on Him, to follow Him, and know that where we fall short, God's grace is there for us. Jesus knows we can't be perfect, but He says, I need you to build. You need to build on my word. You need to follow. You will grow. You will mature. You will not be perfect in this life. And when you reach the end of your life, however you have built, as long as you've built on the foundation, you will be rewarded. But if you don't build on the foundation, if you're busy chasing the things of the world and basing everything you do and everything you think and how you build your life on just worldly things, you're going to struggle through life and you're going to have total loss at the end. Notice he says in 27, the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. That's what Jesus came to save us from, to give us a life worth living, a life built upon His truth. And notice in verses 28 and 29, Matthew writes, "When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law." You know, there's a big difference between listening to me and if Jesus was right here himself telling you. Because I can tell you, here's what he said, and Jesus is saying, "I'm telling you." Now, I'm just a lowly preacher endeavoring to serve the Lord and proclaim the good news. But Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is our Creator. Jesus loves us. Jesus is preparing a place for us. And He has the power, the authority, not only to raise Himself from the dead and return to heaven, but to come back again and take us to be with Him in new perfect bodies to live with Him forever and ever. He has the authority to tell us what we need to build on His foundation. It's His authority, because teachers can come and go. Preachers can come and go. What matters is what the Word says, the Word of God. And so we endeavor to build. Personally, we each build our life. And we must build it on Jesus. So let us never give up studying His Word, endeavoring to learn and grow in understanding. The Holy Spirit helps us. We do it together. We encourage each other as we grow together as the body of Christ. And our eternity is assured. As long as we hold on to the Lord and endeavor to build our life on Him, the worst things that can happen in this world will not separate us from our great God who loves us so much. Not even death. Because when we leave this world, we get to see Him. And that's pretty awesome. Nobody else offers what our great God offers. Right now, we're going to sing a song called "To Know You More." And that needs to be our desire, day by day, to know the Lord more. Not just about Him, but to know Him. Because He knows us, and He's always here to help. And the more we know Him, the more effectively He can help us build properly. Let's stand together, shall we, to sing "To Know You More."